Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. And today I'm joined by Robbie Fitzwater, who's the founder of Marketing Rhythm and is also an adjunct lecturer for the MBA program. You teach a class right now in digital marketing strategy. So Robbie, welcome.
It's good to be here. And yeah, it's not my first time up here in the lovely MBA facilities. And yeah, it's good to be, it's kind of becoming a little second home recently, so.
Well, and we are so glad to have you here. You know, we're going to get into kind of the meat of your class. I want to talk about your career a little bit, too. But if we really start at the beginning, you were also an MBA student. So we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, lots and lots of Clemson experience over the course of the 6 years we've been down here.
Yeah, so before we dive into all that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so again, my name's Robbie Fitzwater. I've worked in digital marketing in some capacity for the last about 11 or 12 years. So starting off in Northwest Arkansas as the working kind of early days of social media, had some fun there and got to be kind of on the ground floor of a lot of unique opportunities for businesses and started helping grew the running shoe store that I managed at that point to a certain level, started bringing on new clients and kind of managing their social media as a practitioner, eventually recognized that it wasn't necessarily the most sustainable strategy for everyone. And luckily, Northwest Arkansas is kind of a really exciting place because there's a lot of smart people there. Not a lot of people expect that. I say Arkansas and I automatically look at people's faces and you can hear the banjos in their head going off when you say Arkansas because nobody has any context for it. But Northwest Arkansas, there's a lot of really smart people that live there. Walmart brings in a lot of people that work in the area and they essentially stay in the area, so it's almost like this weird little Northern California meets Austin, Texas area.
Yeah,
so it was really fun. Got to meet a lot of really smart, brilliant people there and actually worked to start a company there called ModThink, where we worked with small, medium, and large businesses to help teach them how to do digital marketing, and essentially teaching them how to fish was kind of the strategy behind it, because at the end of the day, we could do everything right and be awesome at every little nut and bolt of everything they need to do, but we couldn't tell an authentic story for them. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't put, essentially, if we can empower them with the tools they need to tell an authentic story and build relationships outside their business, then they could really thrive. And that's what's really going to create a differentiated position for them and allow them to grow their business the way they want to. So it was really fun, great experience. My wife, who is who actually teaches the undergraduate level at Clemson, Dr. Anastasia Thyroff.
Shout out to Anastasia.
she actually was finishing her PhD. So going on the job market, the job at Clemson actually popped up as an opportunity, and we ended up moving here to Greenville. And originally, I came in thinking I'd work at an agency in the area, kind of set my roots here and kind of get to know the area and start building my network, but ended up by happy accident that I ended up working at Clemson within probably about a month of being down here. So I actually technically was a Clemson employee before she was. So I worked in marketing at Clemson on the university side. So ideally bringing students into the undergraduate side and then recruiting students, developing the national reputation of the university, and then developing the kind of the in-state reputation of the university, and also recruiting employees. So basically just anything Clemson, and was a director of social media at Clemson for a little while.
That's amazing.
Director of social at Clemson for 2 years and marketing strategist before that. So.
And at some point in time during all this, you found time to get your MBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's like to stay busy. And again, my wife and I live in Greenville, so it was really easy. We just, again, get off work at Clemson and then come back and walk downtown and go to class.
Yeah. So what was your experience like in the MBA program?
It was fun. Honestly, it was different than my undergraduate. So undergraduate was probably a little bit busier because I worked full time. And then I went to school at the same time. So I could only go to school at like 8 a.m. classes or evening classes.
That's
so
rough.
School was the bookends to my day. But the MBA program was nice because I could come to it after class. And then I was able to kind of grow some different areas of business that I didn't have already. I really like reading. I like understanding businesses, understanding that side of the world. So it was fun and engaging for me. I got to, again, make some good connections. There's nothing more valuable than your network. So it was a good way to build that up and get in touch with some great people, but learned quite a bit during that process too, which was a positive. I mean, that's kind of why you do the whole MBA thing.
No, absolutely. And I think that definitely now and we're going to talk a little bit about this, because right now the class that you're teaching for the program, so you've come full circle, you are a student, now you're teaching in the program, and the class that you're teaching is really interesting because it's a hybrid class where you have students in the classroom, and then we have now launched this online program where you have students that are able to consume live if they choose to via WebEx Teams and still participate. So again, from the time that you got your MBA till now, that option has definitely changed. And then, of course, going into the digital strategy side, that's a huge piece of it, too. So I'd love to get your take on kind of your experience now on the flip side, being on the other side of the classroom, and then how to really engage with this new digital component.
So I guess I'll start.
Because I've heard you're good.
You have poor sources?
No, I've heard amazing things, really.
Okay, it's been really exciting. And honestly, the reason I wanted to do this is marketing. Like, I've worked in marketing for years, and I've, again, about 12 years, and I feel like I've probably had 7 career changes because it changes so quickly and so fast that even as a practitioner, it's so tough to keep up. It's a dumpster fire, and if it worked yesterday, it may not work tomorrow.
Right.
And it always changes, and you kind of have to kind of almost embrace that change and really start to understand and kind of own it as much as you can, because it's going to be different. You're never going to have two similar days. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about that in one of the last classes, is how can you be a leader through that time of change? And when there's so much instability and so much flux, that you really kind of have to make some decisions without all the information you'd like to have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a little bit more traditional business role where you kind of understand where your lane is and how to swim in it. You've got to kind of be working on kind of flying by the seat of your pants to some extent, but really trying to educate yourself as much as you can while you're in that role,
mm-hmm.
because you can fall off the grid so fast. And honestly, my wife teaches on the undergraduate level, and I just love seeing kind of the students come out of that side and also students coming out of the graduate level. But it's really hard to really serve them accurately in a way to teach them marketing and kind of the durable strategies to stay relevant in today's world. So I was really passionate about kind of getting into the classroom to help them grow as people and to kind of hopefully help be part of that lead that next generation of marketers, because they're going to do way cooler things than I'm ever going to do. So I want to tee them up for success. And I really wanted to kind of get into that, take that next step in my personal development. And I really love helping people grow. Like, that was doing some soul searching in these last few years. Like, I've had small, medium, and large teams. And my favorite part of every bit of those is seeing the people on my teams grow.
Yes.
And getting to help do that in a larger scale was really exciting to me. So I'm really loving the teaching aspect. But taking that into the classroom, it's really kind of a unique experience, because the in-person section, the online section, and then the parallel streaming online section is kind of unique. It's almost three different classes in one.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, it was a little bit intimidating, I'm not going to lie. It was different, because you have to come up with something that's going to fit all of those contexts,
right,
and kind of serve all those three categories of students this well and kind of do justice to the class. But once I kind of came up with a format that works, which is a little bit more flipped classroom and a more understanding information on the front end with readings, podcasts, videos, kind of ingesting as much as you can on the front end, again, putting that information on paper in a narrative form to kind of go through discussion, and then discussing those in long form in class so we can really dive into the concepts, understand the different principles of what we're discussing, and then kind of dive deep into a subject that's pretty complicated. And I always joke with the students because each week we really kind of cover a subject that people spend their entire careers in that vertical.
Absolutely.
So like SEO or social media or content marketing, like there are people who spend their entire career in that one swimming lane. And again, it's kind of for them drinking from the fire hose, but trying to make it simple enough that they can understand it, using a lot of analogies to kind of say, if this is kind of the same way as your, like, SEO kind of works the same way as your credit score does. It's a lot of different variables that tie into one thing that validates where your site is and how you rank and how you can generate revenue from that. So trying to make it simple for the students to understand, but then in person, it's kind of like an in-person class and leading a large conference call at the same time. So trying to draw some engagement from the students who are Skyping in. And honestly, they've been one of the more surprising aspects of it because they're ready to go. Like, they're on their computers, they're engaged with the entire class, and getting to know them through the course of the semester, they will kind of call out when they have opportunities. They'll engage consistently during class. At any given day, they probably chime in 5 or 6 times during class because it's a pretty open conversation, and it's been pretty fun.
That's amazing. And what I love about it too is that, you know, in this day and age, you're probably going to have to do business remotely at some point in your career. So I think it's really cool that everybody's getting this type of experience, whether they're in the classroom or whether they're piping in remotely, and then you kind of having to be the middleman and figuring out how to engage everybody. But this is how we're going to be doing business going forward with people all over the world, which is really exciting.
Yeah. So one of the coolest parts of the semester was we started class, I think it was week 6 or 7, and one student is actually overseas, deployed, and she was on the call. And she came in, she's like, yeah, I have to work a little bit early, and I wanted to get up a little bit early to make sure I could kind of be part of this. I wanted to participate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, that is so cool.
Because
she's really engaged the entire class. She's excited about the subject, and she wants to take a lot of this information and use it later on in kind of her professional career. But she's overseas, deployed with the Navy, and she's part of this course, and she's contributing actively. She's pretty caffeinated at 1 a.m. her time. But it's really cool to be able to kind of have that perspective to bring it into the classroom and have her interacting with the students in class and students online.
Absolutely. And I think the other beauty of this, I think that's amazing that she is engaging at 1 a.m. her time. Like, how cool is that to have that option? But if she, for some reason, couldn't pipe in at 1 a.m. her time, she can watch it later.
Yeah.
And engage later. And I think that's the beauty of the flexibility of this program is, you know, we're really meeting people where they are all over the world, which is exciting.
So, yeah, it was, again, it's been a fun process, and I'm actually looking forward to doing it again. So I'm teaching social media strategy in the spring, and get a kind of run through the cycle again with another group of students. And I think one or two are coming across and actually taking social media strategy too. So
that's awesome.
It'll be fun to kind of see how that part goes. Honestly, trying to keep it at a high enough level because it's, like, I've worked in social for so many years, I could go and a mile deep in so many subjects, and it's just almost trying to keep it at a high enough level where they can not. It has this weird Star Wars quality to it. When I start talking about social media, it's like, yeah, Star Wars, Facebook, yeah. And it's just really nerdy, and I'm honestly kind of embarrassed by it, but it's really kind of, it's an exciting space, and it's kind of a microcosm for a lot of the other things that happen on the internet. So it'll be a really fun subject matter to talk about.
Absolutely. So what can our students expect from the social media class? Can you give us a little preview?
So honestly, wanting to get a 10,000-foot view of what the purpose of these platforms are and how it actually makes a business impact, and kind of looking at how it, are you looking at it from the perspective of bringing in new customers, retaining your existing customers, or growing the purchasing base of your existing customers. So understanding how you're going to use it to grow your business. And there's a lot of different ways that it can be used for a business, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of different areas that can that you may not expect. So that's one of the exciting parts about marketing, is it's changing so quickly. But you essentially have like essentially what was a, traditionally a marketing role mixed with what was traditionally a customer service role, mixed with what is possibly an IT role in some capacity, mixed with a media and news role, all kind of thrown into one blender, which is social media. So basically, even from large businesses, nobody really knows how to handle things still. So it's still kind of the wild, wild west, and you can kind of understand how businesses function and how they look at approaching these problems, because essentially somebody who handles social media has to understand, hey, I've got to be able to communicate up, down, left, right in an organization, and I've got to consistently be trying to tie this back to the value of the business, doing all of those things that they need to do of PR, of customer service, all while trying to actually do their job of marketing in some cases. So it's kind of the wild, wild west, but understanding the challenges that it faces a lot of businesses, kind of getting a 10,000 foot view of what content marketing is, I think that's really one of the most misunderstood subjects around, and how valuable it can be for a business to differentiate itself, and talk and kind of dive into some case studies of how businesses have done some really cool things and how it opens up the door for a lot of businesses that are really kind of new and innovative to really separate themselves and differentiate themselves. Especially right now with so many things going on in business. I work with a lot of e-commerce brands on the consulting side, but everybody is trying to outrun Amazon, and Amazon's kind of the elephant in the room. But if a business is going to be successful, they can't out Amazon at Amazon. They basically have to out human them in some capacity. So it's one of the key differentiators of a business is, can you develop relationships with your customers, keep them coming back in the door? And social media is probably one of the best tools to do that and to keep them coming back.
And I think it's, you know, there's the good and the bad of social media. And I think the good and the bad is how quickly you have access to people, but people also have access to you. And I think, you know, we talk about this sometimes with like crisis management with companies, because before it's like you had to wait for the newspaper to come out with the story of what happened. Horrible, and like it took months, right? And there wasn't a whole lot of comments. Now it's in real time. So something happened, and within 5 seconds, it's completely blown up. So from a strategy standpoint, I'm sure this is part of what you do with your company and helping businesses, but how do you manage that? And how do you, I guess my thing is, because it's so fast in real time, like you probably have to really breathe and take a step back to think through the strategy instead of just responding.
Yeah, it's with the crisis communication aspect of it, that's one of the things that scares people the most about it, because you open up, as soon as you open up yourself to communicate through a channel, you've got to be present on that channel. And suddenly the world is kind of can have its eyeballs on you really fast. And I've had a lot of experience in that side of the house at the university side. But it's understanding how not to react quickly and how to take really work to understand what's going on, what's the root of the problem, where is it essentially coming from, what behavior are people eliciting, and then what emotion is driving them there. Because normally it's going to be some kind of an emotional reaction. I mean, like the internet runs on bragging and drama, so a lot of that is going to be channeled through social. But if you can understand what's the problem, what's the emotion people are facing, and then really own as much of that conversation as you can, find a place for them to that conversation to live that's on your terms. So you don't want as much of that conversation happening across the digital space. If you can find a way to hopefully kind of not take ownership of all of it, but find a way to bring that to one centralized place for all of this kind of the firefight to happen. Mm-hmm. If there's two sides to an argument or one side to an argument, but just understand that there are people that want to be heard. They have they want to have some clarity as to like what maybe the outcome is going to be. But even if you're not going to do anything, you obviously want to, you don't want those conversations happening in a vacuum. So trying to own it as much as possible, understanding if it's something you need to act on or something you need to react to, and trying to sometimes move forward. If there's no decision that's going to be made, communicating that and being open and transparent through that process, which is really hard for some people. And right now, like anybody who grew up in traditional business, you haven't always had all of those negative data points coming at you.
Right.
And suddenly when they are coming at you, it's really intimidating for a leader or for an executive, because suddenly everything seems like a crisis and everything seems like the world's about to come to a close.
But
absolutely. Sometimes you just need to take a step back and be like, okay, this is something weird happening. Let's just take a step back, wait 24 hours and see how it plays out a little bit longer. And a lot of times the news cycle has moved on by that point. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but it's trying to understand how to approach it in a thoughtful way that's going to kind of do justice to your brand and do justice to your organization.
So this is such an in-depth topic, and I feel like, especially with like digital strategy, social media, like you talked about earlier, this is ever changing. And really, how do you keep up, and how do you teach the next generation of marketers to kind of come in and keep up? What are some maybe skill sets or training or just overall best practices? What would you say?
So like, I get that question a lot, actually. And I still, anytime I get a chance to, I always speak at the undergraduate level too, just to try and like, again, I have good perspective to give. And I always love talking to young kids because I always learn a lot too. I'm getting older and older every day. And I don't fully understand TikTok yet, or I don't understand a lot of those platforms, but it's not necessarily falling in love with I always say, try not to fall in love with the solution. You can't be romantic about what made you successful today. You've got to really fall in love with the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's generally in social or any other part of marketing, it's attention. It's more and more fleeting every day. Fall in love with the problem and understand how to reach people in a meaningful way and provide value in their lives. And you're probably going to set yourself apart from other groups. So creating content or engaging content that's going to keep people engaged with your brand, providing value and a community, is what's generally going to help those people be successful in their role. Mm-hmm. But from the personal growth side of things, finding a way to learn. Like, that's where a lot of people think they can graduate from school, and that's, I've checked that box, I'm done learning.
Sure.
Like, you really got to pick it up once you're done with school, because you've got to have a good pipeline of good information coming in at a consistent basis, or you're going to fall behind. And I personally listen to a lot of podcasts. In full transparency, I listen to them at 2x speed. So I hope none of you guys are out there listening at 2x speed, because I probably sound horrible at 2x speed. I probably sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks, but it's a way that you have to kind of have those different sources of information to pull in, that you can continually understand what's next, what might be coming, and then having a foundation of durable ideas and understanding how, yeah, Facebook makes money through your eyeballs and attention. So they sell ads. You've got to understand, if you're a marketer, how they are making money. Google sells ads. If they're making money through information, you can generally get a good understanding of how the platform's going to change or how things are going to evolve. And using that to kind of build a framework of how you're going to approach things is a good foundation to start on. Yeah. And generally, yeah, again, it's pretty fluid in the way that you can use those to grow.
Well, I love it. It's lifelong learning too. And that's a huge piece of this.
And that's where I always think, like, hiring for people in that capacity too, I always look for people who are just super hungry.
Yeah.
Like, if they can find 3 ways to get in touch with me that's not the actual job application, or reach out to me on LinkedIn, find me through a different connection. Like, if somebody's really hungry before they actually get into the role, even if they don't have the nuts and bolts skills, they're going to get there and far surpass it by 2 months in,
right?
Because they're so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be just as hungry and bring just as much tenacity to the role. And that's kind of what separates a lot of the people who are really successful in this mm-hmm. world from the people who aren't, because it's not something you can really turn off. Like, it's not a 9-to-5 job working in so much of digital marketing, because it's always on and it's constantly moving and constantly changing. Yeah. And you really kind of have to have a little bit too romantic relationship with your phone sometimes, but it's it's something that if you can take ownership of it, it can be really rewarding and really fulfilling, but you've really got to really own it and then continue to work to grow and evolve.
So what does that mean for work-life balance for you? Because that's got to be really tough in that industry.
So it's more of a work-life blend than mm-hmm. anything, honestly. And it's just trying to, like, this is when I'm not available sometimes. Like, I can work to turn it off from a certain point in time. But honestly, you need to communicate with other people on your team that, hey, this is what's going on. This is, like, if we have this person's on call from this period of time to this period of time. Like, you have people on your team that have different news apps on their phone. So if you get two push notifications from two different news apps, mm-hmm. you may look at pausing content because you don't want to be tone deaf if there's been an emergency. Yeah. So you've got to kind of have a few different things in place to make sure that everybody's involved, who's involved, can be have an understanding of what needs to happen if something doesn't go right.
No, and I think that's part of the role that's so interesting and fun, is that you can't be complacent when you're in these types of roles. You've got to be constantly connected and constantly in the know of what's happening. And again, you talk about those people that aren't successful. It's the in a lot of roles, you can just go through the motions. Well, if you go through the motions in these types of roles, somebody's easily going to jump.
Yeah, and that's where it's always kind of exciting to see the people who are really passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why if anybody can be working in an organization they feel passionately about the mission of the organization and where they're going, it's a place where if you're going to be investing so much of yourself into it, then it's going to be aligned with your personal values and how you yeah. find meaning in your life. So it gets super philosophical really fast, but yeah. it's important. So.
Well, and company culture is so important, and that's something that really makes a difference.
I know that's something you're interested in. I know the first official conversation we ever had, you dove really deep into that area. That was like that's like your jam. So that's where I know that it's super important, because it's the person gives so much of their life for that organization, and so much of their identity is tied up in the work they do, and mm-hmm. you want that to be fulfilling. But it's exciting, because it's always going to change. And that's where I like seeing the new generation of marketers coming in, because they're going to be way better at it than I am. And they are going to see things through a different perspective than I do, that if I can kind of empower them with the tools and the skills they need
yeah.
and kind of the war stories of what's gone on and what that world looked like, then they can take it and run with it and do way bigger and better things with it.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
So.
No, I agree. It's been amazing to watch some of our students come through that we've hired on through the program to help us with social media and some of the other things. And, you know, they grew up with it. And I didn't. So it's amazing to see just the cool. It's easy for them just to put stuff out there and design really cool, digital pieces for us. And it's like, it's just second nature to them. It's amazing.
And so for them, I mean, that's a unique skill set they bring to the marketplace
Absolutely.
Afterwards. And a lot of people don't necessarily think that's a really valuable skill set. But communicating in a digital space is one of the more valuable things that somebody can yeah. bring with them. And so many of those ideas are so relevant in the personal network side of things too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I also want to touch on in the social media strategy course, is how do you develop your brand, and how do you develop you as a person?
Yeah.
Because there's so much information that's relevant to you becoming an expert in your field or category that you want to be able to kind of build your network around that and mm-hmm. kind of build your credibility and expertise in that role. So how do you use that to grow from a personal side, but how do you also use that to empower the people around you too? Like, a network is a really great thing for mm-hmm. opening up doors for the people around you, and it's always something, if you can understand the way it works, then you can leverage it to the best of its ability.
Absolutely. And I love assessments for that, too, because when you're building your team, I think it's really interesting to see who you're working with and really what makes them tick. Again, going back to that full culture spectrum and something that you have, I love that you have this on your LinkedIn. I think it's really cool that you list a couple of your assessments and what you've scored. And so right away, you're telling people, like, this is who I am. So, for example, for Myers-Briggs, you're an ENFJ.
Yes.
I am an ENFJ.
You know what? We could talk for days, probably. This conversation is never going to end.
Hours.
Everybody.
They're going to be on like 4x speed.
Yeah. If you have 4x speed on your podcast player, let it go, because this is going to go a little bit longer. But yeah, it's positioning. I mean, I understand me. It's my brand. Like if anybody meets me in person, it's pretty easy to see that I'm pretty open and like kind of a little bit more on the boisterous side, but. I want to have those there to kind of show who I am a little bit more.
I think it's great just to, again, and I know a couple of students that have done that too, where they've done like StrengthsFinder. So right away, you know, if they're job seeking to a company, the first thing you see on their LinkedIn profile is my top 5 strengths are blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and you know what you're getting.
And I love that. And I honestly do that. I've done that with every team. I like the fascination advantage quiz, which is kind of a backwards facing Myers-Briggs. I always have everybody on my teams do that just to kind of get a 10,000 foot view of who they are and just to understand how to lead someone. It's like if you can find a way to align their values and who they think they are with the role they're doing, it's a win-win for everybody. And understanding how to communicate with them better, understanding how different people communicate or different people bring different traits to the table, a lot of value can be had from that team cohesion. And if you have a lot of really creative, whimsical people but not a lot of implementers, right, you may not get a lot done. So understanding how to kind of have some different people with different backgrounds to improve those teams.
That's the biggest thing right now is diversity of teams. I love that.
Okay, so for you, now that we've talked about all this, what are your top 5 strengths from the StrengthsFinder assessment?
Okay, this might surprise you. Developer, positivity, empathy, relator, and belief.
I would have never gotten any of those. I thought you were very just by the books, everything.
Grumpy.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Those are all like right in line with the Jamie Patterson, the fabulous Jamie Patterson I know. So I would expect nothing
So tell
less.
Us yours. What are your top 5?
Okay, so mine are, now I've got to open my phone again. Futuristic, arranger, self-assurance, responsibility, and strategic.
I love that. So you and I would work really well together as both ENFJs with very different strengths.
Yeah, so it takes all kinds of different people to bring different aspects to a team. I did the predictive index in the organization I was at before, and that was a really unique insight into kind of where people fit on a team, how people communicate. And it gives a few different layers to how to build a team to really maximize everybody's potential. And it's just a fascinating way to look at opportunities for people to grow and how people are going to find value and meaning in the work they're doing.
Absolutely.
And I'm a big believer in a lot of that.
Me too. And so I had to see, since we were both ENFJs, who else out there was. So do you want to hear these famous people that are just like us?
I'm intimidated to see who comes through.
Well, wait, I only picked the good ones.
Okay.
There were some where I was like, I'm not going to say that name. But Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay.
Which I was very happy to hear. Diane Sawyer.
Okay.
Peyton Manning.
Omaha.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know anything about it.
John Wooden.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Ben Stiller.
Okay.
So we're like funny. And Johnny Depp.
Okay. You can't see this on the podcast, but I'm swinging back and forth.
He's swinging
Jack
back
Sparrow.
And forth. And just by the way, before we got started, we did jumping jacks.
Okay. So I have to eat my own dog food after hundreds and hundreds of video shoots. I've made so many people do jumping jacks. Like everybody talks like a robot when they first get on camera or first do something. So I always have people do jumping jacks. And I was like, okay. Trying a podcast out. So why not eat my own dog food and do some jumping jacks so I don't have a kind of a a milquetoast conversation.
No, and it was fun. I actually enjoyed it, and we might have to start doing that going forward for the guests is jumping jacks.
Nobody can have a really serious conversation after they just got done doing jumping jacks in their normal everyday attire.
I didn't even know if I could still do them, so I was pretty impressed. It's been a while since I've done a jumping jack.
It's my gift to the podcast.
Thank you. So going back to kind of all of this together, I want to know how you balance it all because, you know, you're working full time, you're now an instructor with the MBA program, you have a family, you have a sweet little boy at home. So how are you balancing everything? And you're plugged in all the time, I guess, too.
So honestly, it's just understanding. Yeah, I wish I could give you some really great advice, but I'm figuring it out as I go along. Like
yeah.
My wife and I, we just had our first child about 5 months ago. He's a little rock star and he's doing great, but it's still like we're trying to figure out what it's like being parents and kind of trying to be professionals at the same time, because mm-hmm. she's at work full time right now teaching. So it's kind of a work-life blend, and it's doing things at different hours and trying to like make sure all of the wheels are still spinning. But it's honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. And
yeah.
I don't think, and I have a really supportive partner, and she could, again, it would not be possible without her. And hopefully I can do the same for her and support her. But we find a great way to work as a team and kind of understand how to kind of thrive through those times. Cause I don't think either of us ever would let boredom happen to us. So, if we have an opportunity, we normally take it. And
yeah.
That's kind of where you need to kind of find a partner who's going to help support you and kind of help you kind of be the best version of yourself. And she, I think that's how I can probably manage all of this, is that foundation.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So what are you most proud of in your career so far?
So I can think about a lot of things, but honestly, when I getting to kind of see the people that I've gotten to work with and kind of helping students and helping kind of be a mentor for people, like getting to see them kind of go off and succeed on their own, is that there's nothing better in the world. Like
yeah.
I get a call from them saying, hey, I just got a job here. And I was like, or could you talk to your recruiter for me for this job? And this is out of their comfort zone. This is like way more exciting than they thought they would be possible out of college. But when I can see them go off and thrive and really kind of create that culture at the place they're at, and then talk to them a few years later saying like, hey, this is what I've been doing, this is how I'm still doing really unique, cool things. And like, there's nothing better than seeing them just shot out of a cannon and doing great work.
Yeah.
Like that's where I get really proud, and I don't like to brag about a lot of things, but I will like bang the drum for them any
Absolutely.
Day. And that's what's really cool about like kind of working to understand what makes me feel happy and successful, is if I can help other people, then yeah. that's where I like everybody wins.
Absolutely. When you see somebody land that job, there's already a sense of accomplishment. But then when you see them really succeed and be happy, right, to wake up every day and go to work, I think that's just the icing on the cake.
Yeah, and understand that it's not always easy, and they're mm-hmm. going to find times that are tough and try and get through those. But when they can be the best version of themselves at the work mm-hmm. they're doing, like that's really cool. And when they go off and do things, even when they make a change, like I want to be there for them. I want to hopefully help support them. So like wanting to kind of help them grow.
Yeah.
I was really lucky. I had a really great mentor experience when I was in Arkansas, and it kind of set me on a path to really work to want to create that for a lot of other people. And I always joke around with my previous mentor in Northwest Arkansas, Brent Robinson, that like he completely ruined me for anything else. Like
Aww.
He just totally ruined me, that like once I got used to that culture, there's nothing that was ever going to live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to kind of work to start creating that.
Yeah.
And helping people kind of live inside that space so they can be the best version of themselves.
I love that. I love that he's inspired you to create that culture.
Yeah, like with minions all around the country and doing cool things. And it's awesome. Like one student's a marketing director at HubSpot, or a
yeah.
director of marketing at UC Irvine. One was the head of social for Sharpie, and she actually just recently moved to a new role that's really cool. And you see them kind of go off and do their own thing, but it's really fulfilling getting to see them kind of continuing to grow inside that space as a marketer or whatever area they're working in.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would be your best advice for young professionals?
That's a really tough question, I guess. Professionals in general, or honestly, I think the learning aspect of it is the biggest piece. Mm-hmm. I if you can find different ways to find joy in learning, you're going to be successful in just about everything you do. I think that it's not necessarily learning in the traditional sense. Sometimes have said, and I'll be the first to admit this, like, don't let school get in the way of your education. But like really embracing learning from whatever means you need to, and really kind of use that to find how you want to learn.
Yeah.
Like get an Audible account or start watching YouTube videos. Or if you're passionate about something, like you have access to all the information you could have access to, get after it. Like you have that opportunity that's never been around before. You can suddenly learn how to do underwater basket weaving in Duluth, Minnesota with people across the world. So if you're passionate about something, you can get excited about it, get into it. And if you're wanting to be intrinsically motivated to do something, it opens up a lot of unique opportunities.
Well, and right. And I think that's a good point, because think about even 10 years ago, people in this space, it was all self-taught because it was so new, all the digital side of things. It was so new and it was changing so fast that everybody had to be self-taught. So you had to have that fire inside you to teach yourself and learn.
I start off my course, and I start off my course and a lot of other presentations with a picture of myself from when I first started doing marketing, and it's a picture of myself cross-dressing. It's like, I used to work at a running shoe store. When we wanted to sell something, we'd get a shipment of women's clothing in. I'd have myself and a colleague put that on. We put a picture of that on Facebook. It would sell through a pallet of clothing before it hit the shelves, because we had an engaged, active community, and we were kind of having some fun with it. But this was before there was a kind of any rules for that was not necessarily outside the scope of what was okay business practices, because it was still the Wild Wild West.
Right.
It was Facebook circa 2008. And if you take the course or you've seen me speak, you've probably seen a picture of that. And I still use that in presentations today. But it's like, this is still really new territory and it hasn't really been fully established yet.
Well, if you'd like to share that picture with us, we can absolutely put it as your headshot when we're promoting this podcast.
Add it to the show notes. This is an Easter egg you can have fit in there. But it's a new. It was an exciting space in that time, and then it's an exciting space now.
Yeah. No, I love that, and it's been so great talking to you and learning so much more about what you've done and kind of how lucky our students are to have you and your expertise in the classroom and to be able to collaborate with you and learn with you. Because I think I hear that from you too, is that you're constantly learning, and that's a huge piece of who you are.
Yeah, and I think that's, we live in an exciting time, and I want to kind of bring that to the world. Yeah. And honestly, I've got to keep my up to speed, because now I've got to fill a course full of good content that's relevant and not going to expire quickly.
Well, and that's the other piece of it too, right? Your content expires fast.
Yeah. So getting good stuff in, and hopefully being able to keep people excited about learning ideas.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you a couple of fun questions just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. I hope that's okay.
Okay. I think I can handle these.
Okay, they're really tough. Tell me about your favorite band or best concert you've been to. And this is where we talked before about favorite rapper. This is where if you wanted to say your favorite rapper, you could.
I'm a big Tribe Called Quest person. I love Tribe Called Quest. I've got to talk closer to the mic. I am a big Tribe Called Quest fan. I've loved Tribe Called Quest. I used to listen to a lot of hip hop. I falling off the edge and kind of losing my edge gradually as I get older and older. But honestly, it sounds super soft, but I think the Decemberists are probably one of my favorite bands, the Decemberists or the Shins, probably one of my favorite bands, the Decemberists have definitely played the best live show.
Okay.
Like, they have so much fun when they play live. We've seen them, my wife and I have seen them quite a few times now, and they look like they're just having so much fun up there, and I've never seen two shows that were the same at all.
Yeah.
And I've seen them in back-to-back nights. So they're a fun band to enjoy.
Well, I love that. It's like you're drawn to, just like at work, it's like you're drawn to when it looks like you're having fun.
Yeah, they're passionate about
what
they do. And seeing them, you've seen bands phone it in, and that's what one of the things I always hate is, like, if you see a live show, and try and see as much live music as we can, not as much anymore with Little Man, but if you see a band play the same set two shows in a row, it's mm-hmm. just like, okay, they may not be having fun. But I've never seen them play the same set or the same songs in the same way. And it's just a whole different performance every time. Mm-hmm. So they play a great show.
Awesome. What is the best place you've ever traveled? Where is the best place you've ever traveled?
Part of me wants to say Iceland, Norway, or my wife and I love Scandinavia. Japan's a place that Tokyo we thought was going to be really overwhelming. Wasn't as overwhelming as we were expecting it to be.
Yeah.
So we wish I would have spent more time there. But Iceland or Norway, they're both really similar. Norway is a little bit more developed, but there's something really special about that part of the world.
Very nice. Best pizza in Greenville?
Okay, I'm the worst person to answer this question.
You don't eat pizza?
I'm lactose intolerant. So I'm the Grinch of the pizza conversation.
Oh my gosh.
But I have eaten lots of bread with marinara sauce, so I probably say.
Breadsticks.
my wife loves pizza, so I eat lots of bread with marinara sauce and sometimes toppings. But what's the name of it? Oh my, Barley's.
Okay. See, like and I know you use memes in your class too, which is a lot of fun. But one of my favorite memes is. You can't make everyone happy. You are not pizza. And now every time I look at it, I'm going to think, well, I can't, like, Robbie doesn't fit into the narrative here.
I speak in cryptic analogies and bad one-liners, but I used to always say, you're never going to make everybody happy unless you serve ice cream. And then there's probably going to be that person with lactose intolerance who just doesn't like, who can't do it, so.
Well,
you're never going to make everybody happy.
You do. I do. Not that my opinion matters, but Sidewall has really good breadsticks. So
Sidewall
bread
does
with marinara.
Sidewall does have good breadsticks.
Oh my gosh! Well, what about best brewery in Greenville?
I like the Thomas Creek.
Okay.
So the red ale from Thomas Creek is pretty solid.
It is pretty solid.
But in full transparency, I could probably get some more breweries in Greenville. I probably could get more active with it.
Yeah.
Being from the Midwest, I grew up Midwest, wheat beer, everything.
Yeah.
And then getting to the East Coast, I've been having to embrace the hops.
Yeah. Ooh.
So hops mm-mm. have not been as easy of a transition because I'm like just a like softy with just I like wheat beer.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I've kind of gradually gotten used to more and more here. Or there's a good number of good breweries around here though.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. It's a great place to be. Orange or purple?
Purple.
I love that.
My face turns red all the time and I just don't look good in orange. I get so nervous. Yeah.
What is your favorite book?
That's another really loaded question. I really struggle with that one. I've probably given away probably 100 copies of The Icarus Deception by Seth Godin.
Mm-hmm.
I love that book. I think it's fantastic. I think just about anybody should read that book. It just like puts you on a good path. Anything Seth Godin, I'm a big fanboy of. I could bang the Seth Godin drum consistently. So that's probably my favorite book. And I've probably gifted it the most too.
Nice. So not that you have time to watch TV, but what would be your favorite show to binge watch?
I kind of like Peaky Blinders is a really fascinating show to me. I really like that. I really like it. I haven't seen the new seasons yet because I haven't got around to it. But I love Peaky Blinders. Probably something comedy-wise, though. I love The Office and Parks and Rec. Those are always really great classics. So
Good. Well, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your time and really what you're doing for the students, because at the end of the day, I think it's really important that, you know, we can feel your passion for wanting to develop the students and really sharing your experiences with them. So thank you for all that you do. And we look forward to having you back, and we'll have to continue this conversation. The thing about digital and social media is we could easily do a part 2, 3, and 4 in the next couple of years, and it'll be completely different to see what platforms are out there and what's going on. So
watch out, listeners.
This I know. Watch out. We'll be back.
Wait to see what you get. Yeah, it'll be exciting. And yeah,
with Jumping Jacks again.
Jumping Jacks, you got to keep things interesting.
All right. Well, everybody have a great day out there, and we'll see you next time.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.